Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to a special edition of 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com, brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. On Monday night, 49ers safety Eric Reed joined us on site at the Brixton Restaurant in San Francisco. Eric, we're excited to be here. A good crowd of people enjoying their meal, getting some autographs from you, and just a great time here in San Francisco. Thank you so much for coming on this podcast.
No, it's awesome. Thanks for having me. Again, thanks to the fans for coming out, hanging out with me. It's a good time.
I know it's been a tough season for the 49ers. Obviously, you guys, you know, you started out great. You won the first game, and you've lost 8 in a row. But it seems like things are starting to get a little bit better, especially with that game yesterday on Sunday in Arizona. You almost won it. A field goal at the end beat you. But how did the team feel about, you know, getting things going in a positive direction?
Well, we executed yesterday better than we have all year. We played the football that we're supposed to play. The defense played well. The offense played well. That was just a tough loss for us. I feel like we should have won that game. But if we keep playing like we played yesterday, then we should be able to turn the season around.
A lot of people were talking about how opposing running backs, there's always a running back on the other team running for over 100 yards. It had been 7 games in a row, but you guys held down David Johnson. He's one of the better running backs, too. What was the effort like? What did you guys do to try to, you know, stop that streak that had been going on? What went right to do it?
Well, we just put a lot of focus and attention on the run game and our run defense. All the calls versus all their runs. Spend a lot of time during practice stopping their best plays. And we did a better job of executing again on Sunday. So we just got to keep that same attention to detail moving forward. And we got the Patriots coming in this week. Obviously one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game coming to our stadium. But it's a great challenge for us.
You know, you've talked about how you like this defensive scheme. Tell us why. What are some of the advantages that if it's executed right, can really lead the 49ers in the right direction?
Depending on the call, everybody has a shot to make a play. It's not a defense to where, you know, the middle linebacker is going to make every play or the strong safety is going to make every play. I think this defense plays to everybody's strengths. It gives everybody an opportunity to do their job, and if you do your job well enough, you can make a play. And so I think all of the guys in the locker room like that.
There was a time in the game where you guys were in, I think it was a dime defense, and you were lined up almost like a linebacker. I mean, tell us about that one. You've had to be versatile this year playing in different spots.
I have been, and that's very exciting for me. That's something that I've been wanting to do, just to be in the spot to help the team. And so, yes, it's situational, more passing downs where we anticipate the offense throwing the ball because I'm a little light, so I don't need to be in the box with, you know, 300-pound linemen running at me. But situationally, I will play linebacker for covers situations.
Was it hard for this defense to, you know, keep your spirits up during the losing streak and the other teams are getting all these yards? I mean, how did you guys keep it together? What do you see going forward as far as trying to have confidence?
It's always tough. You know, when you put as much time and effort and energy into what we do, it's tough when you're not successful. But I think the guys have all been positive about it. You know, this is the NFL. It happens sometimes. And so we know we got 7 more games to play, and all we can do is keep working and try to get some wins.
You know, it's hard when you go up against these great receivers like Larry Fitzgerald. And, you know, he hurt you guys for numbers, but at the same time, the defense overall did a really good job. So how do you look at it when another team has, you know, really a superstar receiver like a Larry Fitzgerald?
Well, you look at the plays that they had to run to get the ball to him. They ran a flea flicker. I mean, they ran a reverse. They really pulled out all the stops to get some things going. So we were playing well, and then they brought the trick plays out on us. But, you know, when that happens, we still got to stop those plays too. But we did a pretty good job of handling Larry. But at the end of the day, we needed a couple more plays to win that one.
Yeah, really the defense enabled this team to have a chance to win the game on Sunday because that interception by Hodges, I mean, that gave the 49ers a chance to tie the game. You had a pick as well. I mean, everybody must have been pretty excited about the 4 turnovers that you guys caused.
Yeah, that's something that we've been talking about a lot lately. We've been losing the turnover battle, and that's what's been hurting us and ultimately losing us games. A couple games, we turned the ball over 3 times, and we didn't get any turnovers for our offenses. So that's not a recipe to win in the NFL. So to get 4 turnovers is very positive for us moving forward. And we just got to keep doing it to give our offense more opportunities with the ball.
You know, I know as a safety, sometimes getting interceptions is just being in the right place at the right time. I mean, you want to have the right positioning. But that one that you got, it was tipped up in the air, mm-hmm. and it almost hit the ground. I thought you did a great job because you caught it just before it was about to hit the grass. So tell us about, you know, that kind of situation, being there, the ball's there, you don't want to drop it, and you were able to make that catch.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, right place at the right time and just capitalizing on the opportunity. We talk about it a lot as DBs. You got to catch the picks, the tips and overthrows. And so that was a tip ball and was able to come down with it and get back up and run for a couple yards. I just wish that we were able to get some points out of that turnover, but, hey, it happens sometimes.
You know, every team deals with injuries, and when you get to week 11 of the season, everybody's a little bit banged up. But how tough was it without Navarro Bowman? I mean, he's the mainstay as the linebacker. Did it take a while to get adjusted to him just not being there?
I think it did. I mean, the guy led the NFL in tackles last year. He plays great against the run. And so I think it showed a little bit when we lost him. Our run defense suffered. But I think we're coming around now. He's obviously a hard guy to replace. But a lot of guys have had to step up to fill that gap, and they've been doing a good job.
We'll continue the conversation with 49ers safety Eric Reed in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco.
As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Now, you mentioned Tom Brady and the New England Patriots coming to town. They just lost to Seattle. What are the biggest issues that you see? Obviously, they've got tight ends that are very difficult to cover, like Rob Gronkowski. They've got Bennett now. Mm-hmm. They've got Edelman, who's a speedy receiver, just kind of gets open over the middle. How do you guys defend that?
Well, they have a lot of weapons. Obviously, a Hall of Fame quarterback in Tom Brady. You said that they're tight ends and their slot receivers are tough, but that's a challenge for the DBs, and I always like that challenge. We played New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees, and as a DB, I get excited for that. And so to have Tom Brady coming here, it's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the DBs because we know they're going to throw the ball, and that just means we have an opportunity to help this team win the game by getting turnovers.
What are some of the things that make the elite quarterbacks great to go against, I mean, and more challenging? I mean, I would think with Brady, he reads the defense so well. He's been around so long, and he's not going to telegraph too many passes.
Well, that's just it. They can read the defense, and they can make throws that only their receiver can catch. I mean, you watch some of the throws that Tom makes, and it's like, what do you do as a DB? You can't defend that. I mean, it's just a great throw. So as a DB, all we can do is just try to be in good position, try and bat the ball down because we know he's not going to give us too many opportunities to pick the ball. But if we can tip the ball in the air and somebody else can catch it like it happened last week, then that's great.
You know, Steve Bono was talking about that with Drew Brees, how it was very difficult for corners to cover the receivers because there was the room on the sideline and Brees would throw a ball and the receiver would turn around and it was there. There was no time to defend it.
That's the hardest throw to defend as a DB. The back shoulder throw is nearly impossible. I mean, when the quarterback throws it like Drew throws it and like Tom throws it, it's tough, and that's what makes them good. But all we can do is practice it and try to make a play on the ball.
Here's the other tough thing for DBs these days is that it's really tough with pass interference. Everybody wants offense in the game and all that. So for you guys, I would imagine, it's just got to be really difficult because it seems like you can't get away with anything anymore.
We had some very questionable calls, to say the very least, right. On Sunday. It's tough. I mean, but we got to play through it. I mean, if the ref is going to throw the flag, what can you do? But the best you can do is try to get your contact within 5 yards and I guess hope they don't throw the flag after that.
Well, there was the one where you were in the end zone. The ball arrived at about the same time you were there, and then they flagged you for pass interference. It was one of those calls, it's difficult because it could kind of go either way. And a lot of times they say if the DB's looking back at the ball, maybe it doesn't get called. So how much do you guys work on that if you even could just peek back at the ball, maybe they won't call it?
Well, that's something we practice on a daily basis when the ball is in the air, trying to get in good position to turn around and make a play on it. But there are those bang-bang plays, like you said, where the ball and myself get to the catch point at the same time. I mean, you you can't throw that flag. But, you know, unfortunately they did. They only got a field goal out of the situation, which was good for us. But, I mean, they had some tough calls in that game.
What's it been like playing for Chip Kelly?
It's been cool. I obviously know a little bit about him. I played him in college when he was at Oregon.
Right.
He's a laid-back coach. I mean, he steers the ship. He only speaks when he needs to speak. And I think the players really appreciate that. He doesn't do too much, doesn't do too little. And it does just enough, and I think all the guys like that.
There was a lot of talk before he came here about how a defense is going to work extra hard because, you know, the offense is quick and the defense might have more minutes on the field. Did you guys discuss that? I mean, we really have to be in good shape for this. It did appear in some of the games, Eric, that the defense was a little tired in the second half. I mean, how do you get past that?
Well, that's just a product of having an up-tempo offense. Anytime you have up-tempo offense, that's just the byproduct of it. And we trained for that in training camp. And honestly, they've been going slower in the regular season than they did during training camp. So they could be going a lot faster than what they are now if they wanted to.
All right, I want to mention that we're here at the Brixton Restaurant in Cal Hollow on Union Street in San Francisco. They got happy hour 3 to 7 every day, happy hour all day on Tuesday, wine Wednesday, half off all bottles, brunch Saturday and Sunday, prime rib specials on Sunday. So make sure you come here to the Brixton where we're hanging out tonight on a Monday night talking about the 49ers. Now, you mentioned your coach. You also have a new defensive coordinator in Jim O'Neill. Tell us about him. I mean, he's been a little bit under fire because of what's happened with yards given up. But this last game, maybe that turns things around for him. What's he like as a, you know, a personality as a DC?
He's very excited. I mean, he's passionate about his job, which is great for us because we like to see that in a coach. But I really think that it's been on us as players not executing the calls, which has led to the big plays and the yards. It has nothing to do with the scheme. I personally love the scheme. We just have breakdowns every now and then, which leads to those big plays. So I think we showed on Sunday that if we execute the play that's called, then we can minimize the big plays, and we put ourselves in a better position to win games. And so we just got to keep doing that moving forward, not shoot ourselves in the foot with mistakes, making sure we do our responsibility, do our job, and be accountable to ourselves when we're on the field, and that'll help us win games.
We'll continue with Eric Reed of the San Francisco 49ers in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you more about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside of the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you're planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on special offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park.
All right, let's talk about some off-the-field issues and actually something that happens before every game. You know, Colin Kaepernick started this at the very beginning of the season, kneeling down for the anthem, actually sitting down. And then you talked to Colin about kneeling down. Tell us about that conversation that you had with him and what you would like to see come about with the message that you're sending.
Yeah, so way back in the preseason, it did start with Colin sitting down. He wasn't looking to make a big deal out of it at all. He had some personal beliefs. He didn't want to stand for the anthem, and so he didn't. And it kind of blew up into what it is now. And so I talked to him. I said, hey, man, I mean, I share some of those exact same beliefs as you, but people feel disrespected by the act. And so we said, let's figure out a way that we can be more respectful to the people that serve our country, but still figuratively standing up for what we believe in. And so days before, I think it was the San Diego Chargers game, we said, hey, why don't we take a knee? I think that is a perfect embodiment of, you know, being respectful, but also showing that we're protesting some of the issues that are going on in this country. And so that's what we decided to do. I think a lot of people have misconstrued that into being disrespectful to our military personnel. That's not what it is. There's a lot of things happening in this country with police officers, with politics, that we don't agree with. And that's what this country was built on, having the freedom of speech to be able to talk about these issues and to voice your opinion about it. And that's what we're doing.
Have you noticed an impact? What are you hearing from people about what you guys have been doing?
The impact is the conversation. A lot of people are talking about it, and I think that's our goal. The only way you can create change is through talking about it. Dialogue has to be the first step to change. And so I think a lot of conversations have been had, and I hope that we can move this country in a good direction as far as these issues, because right now It's not looking good for America. I just think that a lot of things are happening in 2016 that I thought were left back in the 40s and 50s. It's sad.
It is. Tell us about when you have a platform like this, because a lot of people can't make a change, and you guys have a platform, you and Colin, that you can talk about this, and people will actually listen. How excited are you about that?
Well, that's the great thing about it, is that we can use our platform to talk about these issues and to be positive. And I think I can speak for myself as well as Colin when I say that we feel a responsibility to do so. I believe with all my heart that I'm following Jesus' lead. I mean, my faith is first in my life, and I have these convictions about what's happening in this country, and I can't not say or do anything about it. And so, you know, like I said, I just hope that through dialogue things change and we'll just keep talking.
You know, Colin seems to have changed a lot as a personality. He was not a guy who was real talkative with the media a few years ago, but now he's so articulate. A lot of people didn't realize that about him. What have you noticed about Kaepernick and just the way his personality has changed for the better, you know, probably for people to see publicly and what he can do?
I think he's found himself this year. Like you said, he's been more vocal about what he believes in. He's educated himself about a lot of these issues that we have in our country, and he feels strongly about it. Like I said, it's that responsibility that he feels that he has to do or at least say something to stand up for what he believes in. And that's the fundamental aspect of this country. And there are people that are saying that he's un-American, but what can be more American than a silent, nonviolent protest about what you believe in? There's nothing more American than that.
Yeah, and there were some comments about Colin earlier in the year. Oh, you're a backup and you're talking, but what does that matter? What does it matter what your job is on the team? You know, you're making a statement about something no matter what. I mean, did his statement make a difference for this team? Because people thought it would break the team up. Instead, it seemed to go the opposite way, where it unified you guys.
It definitely did. It brought us together. We had conversations in that locker room on a level that I hadn't had since I got in the NFL. I mean, you know, you talk about football, obviously, and the guys that you're close with, you might talk about your family with, but these are issues that we all see. We might not all experience, but these are issues that we all see through social media. And we, like I said, we were able to talk and have conversations on levels that we haven't been able to have. And so, yes, it definitely brought us closer together.
Well, whatever you could do as far as getting us into it, you know, inside of it, tell us, because I wonder about some of the players who thought it was anti-military, and maybe you and Colin sort of turned them around, where there's some guys who kind of came around on this.
Well, in the very beginning, we had a team meeting, players-only meeting, and Colin stood up and told everybody what and why he was doing that. And I think it changed a lot of people's perspective, because when you're on the outside looking into something, you assume things. And so when they see him kneeling or sitting during the anthem, they assume that he's being anti-American or he's disrespecting the military. But when he got up in front of everybody and told why he was doing it, people were able to understand. They may not agree with it, but they were able to understand where he's coming from. And I would just encourage everybody to do that. Instead of forming an opinion based on your own assumptions of a situation, look into it and see why somebody is doing what they're doing, because you may not agree with it, but you can at least see where they're coming from and see why they're doing that.
Well, it takes a lot of inner strength to come out and do that the way Colin did and not really have a whole lot of support at first. Tell us about the backlash, not only that he received, but you, when you were kneeling with Colin, and how do you combat that, because you've got people coming at you in all directions.
Well, it just speaks back to that faith that I talked about. I believe with all my heart that this is what's right. And that's something that, I mean, you teach your kids to do what's right, to speak for people that don't have a voice. The Bible talks about being a voice for those who don't have one. And so that's what I feel like. And it's not some self-righteous thing on my part. I'm not trying to get attention for myself, and I don't think Colin is either. We're just trying to do what we believe is right, speaking for people who don't have a voice. And like you said, using our platform for positive change, because there are issues that are happening. People are getting killed. We have politicians talking about doing things that are anti-American. And at the very least, we can just talk about it and say that we don't think that's right and that we should move in a better direction than where we're going.
I really love what you guys are doing. Now, you know, getting back to Colin on the field, he's really improving. I mean, the last couple of games, he's been so much better. He's always been a good thrower on the run, but now it seems like when he's on the run, it's just kind of, it's devastating for defenses to try to stop it. Seems to me Eric, that if he's more consistent, then you guys are going to start to, you know, score a lot more points. What have you thought about the way Kaepernick's come along this year at the last couple of games?
I think he showed exactly that last week. I think it used to be whenever he scrambled, it was to run. Now he scrambles to try and throw the ball downfield. I think that's helped the offense a lot. He had the touchdown pass in the Arizona game when he scrambled, broke the pocket, and was able to throw it deep. And so I think the more he can do that, the more it'll help us. So I'm excited to see what he can do moving forward.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a defensive back, that's got to be very, very difficult to stop because you don't know whether you're going to step up. Is he going to run? Or is he going to throw the ball? I mean, it makes it that much harder.
As a DB, you have a time clock in your head. You know, you have a feeling that, okay, the ball should have been thrown by now. And when you look back and the quarterback is still running around, he's like, okay, now I got to find the receiver again. And, I mean, you see some of the great quarterbacks today doing it. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson,
yeah,
Cap.
He's tough, yeah.
When those guys start running around, it usually turns into big plays. Plays that you think are about to be a sack end up being touchdowns. And so it's extremely hard on the DB, and we have to practice a lot at that.
Let's talk a little bit more about you off the field and what you're trying to accomplish, as far as, charity and working in the community. How important is it to you, and what are you up to lately?
Man, that's one of the most exciting things about what I have going on right now. I mean, obviously football is my dream. It's what I love to do. But it's provided an avenue for me to be charitable and to help people. And I get no greater satisfaction than to help somebody. And it's not for me. It's for them, you know what I mean? And it just gets me excited. And so right now, I'm teaming up with the team. They have the 49ers Academy. It's a school that they run. Teaming up with them to improve that school and doing some things back home with the Baton Rouge Dream Center, which is a facility that has housing for women and children. They have an industrial-sized cafeteria that they feed the homeless out of. They do after-school programming to get kids off the street. But right now they're battling from the flood that happened. They're rebuilding that, but it'll be exciting when they get that facility up and running again.
Yeah, we saw a lot of smiles here at the Brixton restaurant in San Francisco. Anybody who gets a chance to meet Eric, I mean, you must get a great satisfaction out of that when you just make somebody smile. They might not be having a great day, but you show up and then, they've got a smile on their face.
Man, it's awesome, isn't it? I mean, just to see somebody smile, to make somebody smile, to help somebody out, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Hey, you got a golf tournament too, the Eric Reed Invitational. Yeah, tell us about that.
So it's a golf tournament. It benefits the Baton Rouge Sickle Cell Anemia Foundation. I hold it annually. And it's just a good time. We go out, play around the golf. I get to hang out with people, and we raise money for sickle cell anemia. Not many people know about that disease, but it's a deformity in your red blood cells. It doesn't let your body carry oxygen throughout your body very well. And it's not as known as cancer, but it's just as deadly. I mean, I've had a friend who said his girlfriend passed away over a weekend because it just hit her that quickly. And so if you don't know you have it, it'll hit you overnight. And so we're just trying to raise money and awareness and to try and find better treatments and alternatives for people that have that disease.
You you get out there in the community. And by the way, when's the golf tournament and where?
I believe it'll be in March. It's in Baton Rouge, so I don't think we set a date. It'll be March or May this offseason.
And I was going to say, is that something that you learned when you were in college at LSU about, trying to give back, as you were pointed towards an NFL career?
Well, I think it's just it all goes back to my faith. I mean, I get no greater pleasure than storing up riches in heaven. The Bible talks about that. I mean, don't store riches on earth, store your riches in heaven. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to get my spot in heaven, get to meet my creator one day, and just doing that through helping people. And so that's what I'll be doing for the rest of my life.
All right, tell us about your newborn, 3 months old, Nizana.
Nizana.
Unbelievable. I mean, how are you handling playing an NFL schedule, a little one at home, and another kid as well?
It's tough. my wife is, I thank God for her. She's been taking the brunt of that at home. For the first 2.5 months, I actually slept in another room. My wife let me do that so I could get some sleep at night. But the baby's sleeping well now, so I'm back in the room and helping out a little more. But it's been awesome seeing her grow. I get home, she smiles, and it makes my day.
I heard that Nizana is a very special name for you and your wife, Jade.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So my wife was born in South Africa, and Nizana is actually a city in South Africa that my wife's grandfather used to take her to. And so it's special for her in that sense because it brings her back to Africa, and it reminds her of her grandfather.
Now, in the offseason, you go back to Louisiana, right?
Yeah, Louisiana and South Africa. So
both, okay. Yeah. And LSU, of course, still close to your heart. I mean, how closely do you follow the college football, the Tigers?
It's hard sometimes, but I do keep an eye on them. I know that they're anticipating a big coaching hire next year, so I'll be excited to see what happens there. But they've been playing well lately. Lost a close one to Alabama, which is always a great game. But I definitely excited for those guys.
Alabama's like an NFL team, though.
Right? Yeah, they're pretty good. I mean, when they score 10-11 times this year on defense, that's just something that I hope we can do. They win games.
Is there kind of a bond in the NFL when you run into another LSU player? I mean, because I went to USC, and anytime we see another Trojan, you know, we're doing this. What do you guys do as far as running into LSU guys?
No, it's awesome. I think between us and the Arizona Cardinals, there's like 7 LSU football players. So it's pretty awesome. We always take a picture after the game. You know, just keep up with one another, creating those memories. But I always make it known when we watch film on other teams if there's a guy from LSU who makes a play. I'm like, oh, yeah, where'd that guy go to school? And, you know, give everybody a hard time in the room.
We're at the Brixton in San Francisco. Everybody's having a good time. I've given away some free T-shirts for thesportsvirus.com, by the way. Anybody wants to come over and grab one. To finish up, let's look at the future of the 49ers because, you know, it's been a tough year. You want to try to finish this year strong. But what do you see as the future here? Because, you know, people are wondering about this team. I mean, it seems like you guys need to, you know, try to pick it up and get some, you know, good draft picks and a little more talent on the team, especially to be deeper when you do have the injuries that you've suffered this year.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of great young talent on this team. And, you know, with the experience will come wins. And so the more experience we get, the better off we'll be. But like you said, we just got to finish the season strong. You never know what will happen in this league. I mean, I think I remember, was it Atlanta that started the season 8-0? And then finished the season 0-8 and didn't make the playoffs.
Right.
So
Minnesota's on that track. They went 5-0. They're 5-4 right now. Yeah.
So I mean, who knows? Who knows if we win out, what happens?
But yeah.
That's just our attitude moving forward, taking it one game at a time, and we'll see where we are at the end of the season.
By the way, you mentioned the young guys and Armstead and Buckner. Those guys are big and tall, and I guess they're kind of learning how to use their bodies at the NFL level. What have you noticed about their progress? I know for Armstead it's tough because he's had the shoulder issue. He hasn't been on the field as much as he would like, but especially for Buckner, what do you notice?
I think they've made a lot of progress. You said just that with Eric. I mean, he was really coming along during training camp, and then he got the injury, and he fought through it, and it just got to a point to where he couldn't anymore. As far as Defoe, he's a young guy. He's learning how to use that big body in this league. I mean, he loses a little bit of leverage because he's so tall, but he just has to learn how to get low and fight through it, and he's been doing a great job of that. I mean, I think he might be leading the team in sacks. So, I mean, the progress is there. He just has to keep playing.
Yeah, and you've seen it all. I mean, you've seen more of a veteran team early in your career, your rookie year, to now. So you kind of see what the veterans did. And now you're more, you know, a leader on this team. Tell us just about that transition of being, you know, more of a vocal guy on a football team.
Well, it just comes with that experience like we talked about. I mean, I watched the older guys when I was a rookie in my second year, and then I just got more experience as time went on and was able to talk the things that I heard when I was a rookie. And so that's a big thing in the football culture. So we're going through that right now. We have a lot of young players, but the more time passes, the better those guys will be and the better our team will be.
And, oh, yeah, you know what? We're going to actually have a Q&A here live on Facebook. We'll bring in somebody here to ask a question. Go ahead and hand a microphone over to this gentleman. What's your name and where are you from?
My name's Anderson. I'm from Sacramento.
Okay, what's your question?
My question is, who's your favorite team to play against?
Against?
Yeah.
Seattle.
Seattle.
That's always a good one. It reminds me of playing Alabama back when I was in college. It's just that one game on your calendar every year that you know, I don't like playing these guys, but I actually love playing these guys because I don't like playing these guys. So I always get excited for that one. Appreciate it,
Thanks
man.
A lot for the question.
Thanks.
Yeah, you know, one thing I did want to say about Seattle, Richard Sherman is just this lightning rod. What do you think about him as a competitor since you're on the other side of it and you're always looking to play against him? You know, he's one of the great DBs in the game right now.
Fierce competitor, very fierce competitor. I've actually had a couple opportunities to speak with him off the field. He's really a cool guy.
Smart guy, Stanford
guy. Very smart. But, I mean, he competes, and that's what, as a DB, I love to see it. I mean, it's fun to watch.
All right. Well, I think we've taken our time here at the Brixton, and we took up one of their tables. So we really appreciate everybody. You know, I want to thank Kyle Evans too for setting all of this up. Our man over here.
Kyle's
thank
the
you.
Man.
Yeah. Thank you
Kyle
very much for
man.
Doing that, and appreciate it. And we'll see you next time on thesportsvirus.com and on Eric's website. By the way, give your website a plug.
Oh, got to do that.
Yeah.
EricReed35.com is my new website. Just getting it off the ground. Y'all check it out. I got some stuff on there like the hat. So
awesome.
little fun thing I'm doing, so check it out.
All right, Eric. Hey, this has really been a pleasure. A lot of fun to do this. Good luck against the Patriots on Sunday. Hope you guys come out on top, and hope to do this again.
I appreciate that. Me too.
That's 49er safety Eric Reed. Want to thank him for joining us at the Brixton in San Francisco on Monday night. On Tuesday, we'll be back with Steve Bono, a regular guest, here on 49ers Extra. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on thesportsvirus.com.